Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocked Tales, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the worshiping Dionysus man, sipping on science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here having a great time. We hope you do too. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be talking about a new slang word all the kids are using, and its meaning will shock you.
Ooh.
Isn't that every slang word they use?
We'll get to it at the end.
As you can hear, I'm joined by some fine and fascinating guests in the lounge today. We've got Ron, the geologist apologist. Ron, how's your week going so far?
It is going great so far. Thank you. Glad to hear it.
Amber, my sister who loves woo-woo and thinks she's always right, too. How are you doing today, Amber?
I am great. This is the last week of school.
Oh,
yay!
Well, tie on a few for me.
It's going to be a good week for me. Mixed feelings, but mostly good.
And in the lounge today, we also have the lovely Jamie Lynn, a druidess who's just so damn good at this. How are you doing, Jamie Lynn, my love?
You know, I'm doing great. It was a rough week. I'm starting my new week with all you lovelies, so I'm going for it.
Started off right. All right. We got a really fun and informative show for everyone today, brought to us by Gringotts Wizarding Bank.
Yes.
How do they even make money? I don't know. In a world where you could just use magic to transmute things, why do you even need money? I don't know. Gringotts Wizarding Bank.
They store more than just money, Dan.
I get storage units, but it's not Gringotts storage units. We're going to take a quick look back at the execution of Anne Boleyn on May 19th, 1536. We got some hot science news about Dyson spheres that astronomers claim to have found, breaking the light speed barrier. And we're going to have a discussion about this man-bear-pig that South Park's talking. Wait, no. The thing going around the internet, would you rather be with a random strange man or a bear? We're going to have a nice conversation about that later, too. We're going to get to some snake oil involving toll roads. Watch out for that. Going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Check in Time. And of course, we'll wrap things up with a feel-good story. We do encourage everyone, reach out to us. You can hit us up on email, halfcocktails@gmail.com. You can send us a text or voice message to 443-499-8253. Or maybe you want to just drop a comment on one of our social media pages like TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. That'd be great, too. But for now, we're going to hop in that time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
All right. So, Anne Boleyn, what do we know about her?
She was a smart, sassy lady.
She was. She was the wife of a king, correct?
That's exactly right. And despite that, she would still choose the bear.
I think she might. Just
well, if she was smart, she might still be alive.
Yes. Oh! If she was still alive, I'd be really impressed. Okay.
Too much?
This lady, a noble woman in England, born around 1501. We don't have birth certificates from that era. So it's kind of just a guess. They historians say 1501 to 1507. Born in Norfolk, England, daughter of Thomas Boleyn, a respected diplomat, and Elizabeth Howard, a member of a powerful noble family. We don't know her birth date, but we do know that she grew up noble and privileged. So rich lady, right?
Educated.
Did not want for things like, if you were a peasant in England, like most people were in 1500, your life was not great.
Right.
So at the very least.
She was a little more upper crust.
At the very least, right? She had some good years. She got big education. Her family was connected and her dad was ambitious for her. She spent part of her youth in the Netherlands at the court of Margaret of Austria, right? Like studying abroad. She learned French and received an education in European courtly manners. She, in fact, later moved to France and served Mary Tudor, Queen of France. And she also served Queen Claude. And so being in France at the time really exposed her to that Renaissance culture, because if you're up on European history, the Renaissance, a lot of French thinkers, real big at the time, and really big in really influential in shaping society, because people like Anne Boleyn, nobles would send their kids to go study abroad, and they would learn foreign languages and get exposed to all this foreign thinking. France was kind of a hot spot for that in the Renaissance. She manages to get back to England in 1522. So she's either like 21 at the oldest or 16. I think 1501 is a much better guess, because we know that she got back at 1522. And I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm being naive about the European culture of the time, but I don't know. I feel like 21 is when you graduate. It's more of graduating college and going home, right? I did it.
Right.
She joined the court of Henry VIII, the King of England, as a lady-in-waiting to Queen Catherine of Aragon.
She should have seen all this coming when she was the handmaid. She was her, what'd you call her?
Lady-in-waiting.
Lady-in-waiting. This is the stranger, guys.
Okay.
And you're being given all of the, I don't know, he didn't change his character, just saying.
So...
Anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, Queen Catherine of Aragon is the King Henry VIII's wife. She's the Queen of England. They got married in June 1509. So she's been married to the king for 12 years, and there's no male heir, right? That can't be bad, right? Girls are fine.
We can't have that.
Yeah, King's going to be totally happy with this.
Yeah, yeah. And Anne Boleyn, she's a lady-in-waiting, known to be beautiful, witty, charming. So she's standing out at court. Everybody's like, oh, damn, that Anne, she's a badass. Look at her go. And she catches the eye of a guy named Henry Percy. And they get engaged, but... speculation that the king already had his eye on her. Under pressure from the Catholic cardinal and King Henry VIII, the engagement gets broken off. What do you know? It's not long before good old King Henry VIII, he is, started paying more attention to her. Now, interestingly enough to me, her sister Mary was one of the king's mistresses. So
jeez.
The king is all
keeping it close.
King's already fucking her sister, right?
To keep things in the family.
Gosh.
It's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king.
This guy's, I mean, it's the 1500s England. It's just, I guess, whatever you want to do, right? It's that's Henry's philosophy, whoever I want to do. Anne's like, at first she's like, no, I'm not just going to be your fucking mistress. You want to marry me, make me queen? Maybe then we'll fuck.
Then we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like a spoiled rich boy, Henry VIII is like, oh, well, now I must have you. I can't have you, but I must.
A challenge accepted.
So I bring us, which brings us back to Catherine of Aragon not having a male heir. So King Henry VIII, who, you know, wants Anne Boleyn says we got to get married. Henry VIII apparently just all of a sudden starts thinking this marriage to Catherine of Aragon is cursed by God because Catherine had been his brother's widow. She was married to King Henry's brother. Which is kind of biblical, the whole like, oh, my brother died, I guess I gotta marry his wife.
I got my duty.
But Henry flips it around. He's like, oh no. I'm not getting any sons because God cursed us because of this thing that used to be standard Old Testament.
Wow. Plus, I believe he had to persuade the church, because the church didn't allow for, is it the Roman Catholic that they were part of? It didn't allow for divorce. So he's got to come up with a banger of a reason to get divorced.
Yeah.
Or
that's exactly right. They don't do divorces. They do annulments. Mm. So that's the argument he went to the Pope with. Like, hey, Pope, this is my brother's widow.
I got this problem.
I got this fucking curse, yo. How am I going to get it gone? I got to annul this. I got to annul this. Got to annul it, man.
I got to bang this other girl and get some boys.
I got a bad for that hand, man.
She will not give it up without the ring. Then listen to Beyonce.
We'll be here.
Right? She's saying, I gotta put a ring on it. And I can't do that because I only got one ring. And Catherine, she's already wearing it. So the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, supposedly influenced by Catherine of Aragon's nephew, says no. No, I won't annul this wedding. And while this is going on, though Anne Boleyn isn't giving it up, she has become the king's constant companion and confidant. She actually was wielding influence over him, encouraging him to break with the Roman Catholic Church. Anne herself was like, well, fuck those Roman Catholics. and so by 1533, the king declared himself supreme head of the Church of England, which effectively cut ties with the Vatican and Rome and the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V.
Oh, to be the king.
Right? This was a big shift. It's known as the English Reformation. I'll have a link to the English Reformation in the episode description. But we're not gonna dive in because that's a deep dive. Like there's a lot that happened there.
So much stuff.
But as head of the Church of England, Henry decided, well, maybe I can annul my marriage to Catherine.
What do you know?
Boom!
Maybe I will find someone who will annul this marriage.
I'll annul myself. Okay. So they, Anne Boleyn and Henry VIII, got married January 25th, 1533. And she got crowned in a big lavish ceremony. Queen Anne, yay, yay, yay. You got us gone from the Catholics and now you're queen. It was, but the coronation, it really was big because it wasn't just, we got a new queen. It's, we cut ties with the fucking Roman Catholic Church. They've been the
pretty
religion.
Big deal.
That was a big deal.
Huge deal.
That's huge. Yeah.
Huge deal. So new religious and political order has sprung up in England. September 1533, Anne gives birth to a daughter.
A son?
No, not a son. Nope. However, her daughter, Elizabeth, would go on to be not known as one of England's best monarchs. I mean, Queen Elizabeth was a badass. Anyway, however, that's not happening yet. You know, she's just a baby. Not having a son, as you can imagine, was a big deal because, you know, apparently.
Surely he's going to stick with her and try again. He's not got his eyes wandering, right?
Son of a.
That's how it works.
No, he's going to wake up one day and realize it's not a big deal. I bet my daughter will be a badass monarch. I don't need a child with a penis. I could just have a child. I'm sure that's what he's going to wake up.
That's definitely a woke attitude.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that's where this is headed.
Yeah, he's definitely not thinking of his own penis also.
For sure.
Definitely.
He just wants someone's penis to look like his.
You know what? I actually, at this point, I think he's still fucking Anne's sister. I don't think.
Oh, probably.
I think it's valid. Why not? I mean, twofer.
I think he's the king of England. He just sticks it wherever, you know.
Power rules.
So while Queen Anne advocated for religious reform, obviously she masterminded the departure from the Holy Roman Empire. She patronized scholars and reformers, and by that I mean she was a patron of, not like she talked down to them. However, because she was assertive in doing all these things, as you can imagine, she made a lot of enemies. Like, people were not exactly pleased with the fact that she was so effective.
People never like strong women who call out their bad behavior.
Bad luck.
This has been a pattern since the beginning of time.
She would even call out the king. Like, she argued with him, so you can kind of see where that's going to go. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what do you mean? She called out the king? I mean, he's the king. He can't be wrong. Otherwise, he wouldn't be king. Doesn't even make sense.
He cannot be wrong.
You're not even talking sense anymore.
Off with your head.
Just get the head gone. That's the part that does the talking.
Up to the kitchen.
That's the part that talks. Get it out of here.
Yeah, right. In 1536, Anne got pregnant again, and everybody was like, yay, it's going to be a boy. And then she had a miscarriage. And as suspected, Henry already was infatuated with another woman named Jane Seymour, not Dr. Quinn Medicine
what?
Woman.
No.
But that'd be pretty cool if Jane Seymour was a vampire who's been around since the 1500s. But that's not the case.
Pretty sweet.
Didn't she lose her head too? That would have been interesting.
No. Jane Seymour actually died in giving birth to a child. To King Edward. To the son.
Was it a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. So, in order to have a boy, you had to lose your life. She had a deal with...
I don't know if it still holds up to scientific scrutiny, but I remember coming across something that was saying the sex of the child depends more on the timing of how far the egg is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the speed of the sperm.
Yes. Yeah, it depends on where in the cycle the woman is, where the egg is, how fast the swimmers are going. Because I think sperm that have the girl code go faster. They're faster swimmers. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's slow and long swimmers. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's quick but die fast. Okay, anyway, so none of these women was their fault. It's the fact that Henry was just like, I'm going to fuck you all the time, and as soon as that egg is accessible, the sperm, it'll be the low and slow sperm that hit it cuz it's so far up the tract, and that's how we're getting the XY female. To put it crudely, I'm not a biologist or geneticist, so that's like high school level. There are far more nuances than that, but that's the gist of it. Henry's already eyeing Jane Seymour. One of Anne's ladies-in-waiting, by the way. He had a type, of course.
The man has a pattern.
I'm kind of thinking the whole point of the ladies-in-waiting, at least for him, to find new...
They're just waiting
to be the next one.
He knows. Yeah, he's like, I know what they're waiting for.
Waiting for the D.
It's pretty clear,
aren't we all?
So she also, because she had enemies like a guy named Thomas Cromwell. He was known to have stepped in, and they charged her with adultery, incest, and high treason.
How horrible.
I mean, if you're going to accuse somebody, you've got to accuse them good.
Right?
Go all in.
Wow.
They weren't effing around.
It's worth reading her last letter to King Henry. Asking to be pardoned. Like, come on. I'm innocent, right? Like, I've always been a dutiful good wife. Like, when did I ever fucking treat you wrong?
Right.
She was definitely found guilty. And there's no evidence. It was like the first guy to confess was clearly tortured into confession. Musician guy. Hold on, I thought his name's Mark something. I thought. She got arrested. She got arrested on May 2nd, 1536, taken to the Tower of London. Cromwell, who was Henry's chief minister, orchestrated everything. She said to have had sex with her brother, George Boleyn, several courtiers, including Henry Norris, Francis Weston, William Brereton, and Mark Smeaton. Smeaton was the one who got tortured to confess to adultery, which was the cornerstone to convict her. Wait, there's more. They killed her brother. They put her brother to death, too, for the incest.
Wow. Holy crap.
Could you imagine?
Well, if you're going to make the story stick, right?
Could you imagine from brother of the queen to sister fucker, kill him, cut his head off? Like, wait, what? He just existed.
Right.
What the fuck?
But they had to maintain the cover.
I'm pretty sure I'm safe. The king's fucking both my sisters. I'm doing all right.
Somehow, no.
My niece is a princess. I'm fine. I'm fine, guys. I'm fine. Next round's on me. My life is so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag not all men.
Not all kings.
Hashtag not all kings.
Not all kings.
The trial was presided over her own uncle, Thomas Howard, the third Duke of Norfolk. Pure spectacle, pure political theater. So like, her fucking uncle is like, she's always been a brother fucker. Yeah, get her gone. I don't know that. That's my speculation. I don't know what he said. But she was found guilty by the jury, and many of whom were influenced and intimidated by the king.
Go figure.
Shocked.
Right? So on May 19th, 1536, they put her to death. They hired. And remember, this is in an era, like, Dan Carlin does a great job. He's got a podcast on his hardcore history about pain through history. And when being put to death as a punishment was meant to be painful in most instances. Like, the guillotine was originally seen as the most humane way to kill someone.
Wow.
Right?
I can see that.
But the guillotine hadn't been invented yet. They hired a skilled French swordman. French swordsman that they brought over from France to ensure a fast, painless death.
Wow. Like,
at least they gave her that.
Consider
at least they gave her that. You know, hopefully her brother had the same swordsman. you're taking one for the team.
Taking one for the team.
Off with your head, fast.
That's strange to me. I mean, I have this idea in my head of, like, medieval Europe and England. Like, everybody's got a sword and can use it, right?
Well, those French swords, though, they're no
French swordsmen with the rapier. Like, what? Really? Okay. I you would think
maybe he was really well renowned. This guy gets around. All the countries hire him. He's the highest paid executioner chopper person.
Or he had good marketing.
The sharpest sword in the West.
Oh, did you want to put a family member to death? Let me do it. I'll do it painless and quick. She of course maintained her innocence to the end. She gave a speech
because she was
and accepted her fate. Swordsman killed her, and Henry married Jane Seymour 11 days later.
Did he wait for after the funeral? Is that why it was 11 days?
There was a funeral. It wasn't as a queen, though. She was not buried as a queen because Jane Seymour was the only one. So Anne Boleyn didn't have a formal funeral. After execution, her body and head were placed in an arrow chest and buried in an unmarked grave in the chapel of St. Peter Vincula within the Tower of London.
Rude.
Supposedly in 1876, during renovations, her remains were identified and she was reburied in the chapel, which now has a memorial plaque in her honor.
Okay.
As a queen?
I mean, if it was done in the 1800s, I'm sure they mentioned she was a queen. But yeah. What a way to go out, huh?
That's just crazy because his first wife got out of not having a son, and I don't know exactly what happened to her, but we were saying she wasn't beheaded. So she had to have had some very powerful enemies to go, nope, king, you're not getting boys, and you just need, they hated her so much.
Well, she was so
strong. Strong women, watch out.
She was the one that was pointing out all of the shit they were trying to pull. So if they silenced her, it wasn't just a matter of he wanted another wife. He wanted her silenced. And the only way to keep her quiet is to kill her.
Her enemies wanted her silenced. I think Henry proved he would be fine with the divorce. But her enemies manufactured the charges, and he just went with it because it served his needs, because he was a selfish, spoiled fuck. Wife number one, Catherine of Aragon, actually died that same year in January. She had been living in seclusion after the marriage was annulled, because that was actually, as you might imagine, a social death sentence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she was
right
out of favor with all the nobility and courts. And she died from prolonged illness. Historians believe it could have been heart cancer, though we don't know why. She was 50 years old when she died.
Wow.
Wow.
That is so young.
She remained a devout Catholic her whole life.
Huh.
So clearly she was not a fan of the annulment. Not just because it was her own divorce, but because she was a Catholic and Henry was leaving England.
Right.
Fun stuff.
Oh, Henry.
Fun stuff.
Wow.
But for now, let's talk about some news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Now, this isn't a news article, but it's really been in the national debate, and it's part of the zeitgeist now. If a woman has a choice to be alone in the woods with a strange man, or a bear, which does she pick? And now a lot of women are picking the bear, rightfully so. And Amber, I understand you were having an online discussion with another one of our family members.
I was.
Oh, snap.
And she is perfectly entitled to her opinions, and I allow her to have her opinions. Isn't that big of me?
Yeah.
I realize as I said it, that was really condescending, but I'm kind of fired up a little bit about this, because...
Well, it may be condescending, but my thought was, should she be?
Right?
You know,
do we have like a benchmark for like, okay, now you're smart enough for your opinion to matter?
Yes. I mean, eventually. No, I'm just kidding.
All jokes aside, what was she saying about this topic?
This dialogue, she's saying that, well, I have all these men in my life and they're all good men, and no woman out there would ever have to be afraid of them.
Hashtag not all men.
Oh,
right.
Not all men.
I tried to point out to her that that's not the point of this thought exercise. We're not saying all men are horrible people. We're saying that if you look at the numbers statistically, more women are beaten, raped, violated in other ways, assaulted, threatened, murdered by men. Statistically, you can't argue with the numbers.
Yeah.
Yes, it happens to men. There's violence on men in the same ways as there's violence on women. But the number is smaller. And right now, the dialogue is that these women are choosing the bear because of all of this historical evidence that they aren't safe with a strange man.
Oh, yeah. Testosterone is a fucked up drug. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we all suffer from some testosterone poisoning, guys. It's unfortunate.
I think Ron was saying earlier today that if we had to roll the dice as men, I think I'd rather take the bear than the strange man I'm alone in the woods with, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know how to work with the bear a little bit, and chances are the bear's going to wander off on its own, you know, with some random guy walks out in the desert. It's like, holy crap.
Right. The bear's predictable and consistent.
Yeah.
Is this a hungry bear? Chances are the bear's not going to be hungry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and I can hopefully climb a tree.
You know, and even if they are, you know what to expect. Like, you know, if right. you see a bear, he's either going to wander away or he's going to try to eat you. I mean,
the bear isn't unpredictable yep. and the bear isn't deceitful.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. But, you know, even going beyond the bear versus man thing, the greater dialogue is when, in this case especially, women come out and say, these are the things that have happened to me or to someone I love. Mm. And those are the reasons why we are saying X, Y, Z. To discount or ignore their very real experiences and traumas to say, well, it's not all men. Well, it's not this. It's not that. It's like, it doesn't matter. Great. I am so glad that there are wonderful men out there. I'm dating one who is an absolute prince.
Yeah,
but there are men that aren't.
Yeah.
There are men that aren't.
Well, and just the fact, Amber, just the fact that they have to caveat, but not all men, right there, capitulates the point. Right. It automatically says, it's true. No, most men are assholes.
Trauma is real.
And it really betrays the fact that she's never done chat roulette. Because as anybody who remembers that app, if you had to choose between a random strange man or a bear, everybody's going to choose the bear on chat roulette. Then you get it, right?
Right.
And because I think we all know anybody who did chat roulette saw a lot of dicks. A lot of dicks. I know I did.
Way too many dicks.
Dang it. I missed out on that. It must have been during my Mormon days, right? Is that when that came out?
You had the webcam and it just connected you to another random stranger with a webcam signed into chat roulette to hang out and chat. Oh my God. So many dicks. It was
That is like
a
recipe for disaster. Which bright idea? Who came up with that bright idea? Let's match random people up and let them talk. Well, fuck.
It had potential.
Are you on the internet? Have you experienced anything on the internet? Well, you know, and I made this point to her that I actually am really glad that she doesn't have a personal experience, a trauma that makes her want to choose the bear. I am so glad. But I have, and I know women who have. And so when I say I'll choose the bear, it's because of my personal experiences. And to ignore the real pain and trauma that I have because of a strange man is deeply offensive. Like, I am far more offended by that than any man should ever be if a woman says, no, I want the bear. Like, it just it's so demeaning.
Do you think that our mother should have shared more openly her experience of sexual assault with the family?
Oh my God, yes. Wait a minute. I never even heard about this.
Did she only share this with me?
She never shared me with that with me.
I don't want to go into the gory details.
So,
but
yeah, we're going to go into that later.
Mom was definitely sexually assaulted on a date.
Wow.
In high school.
She never told me.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a 100% believer in transparency. And evil hides in the shadows every time. And that's why these discussions
the more
are
we don't
important.
Talk about it.
Yep.
This is why the discussion is important.
I'm stunned that I knew that and you didn't.
Yeah, that definitely should be something you should be talking to your daughters about when they start dating.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons she was so hard into the Mormon church, right? Like, she was like, she believed it. So she believed if her daughters only dated Mormon guys, no problem. Right. They don't have to worry about date,
right? Oh, my God. Yeah. She obviously did not date Mormon guys. Before she met Dad, because that was not my experience. They are just as human as every other guy out there, subject to all the foibles and weaknesses of any other guy or woman out there.
I, I'm interested, Ron, have you gotten, as a man, any blowback for any of this stuff? Have you ever had to like stand up for yourself and be like, hold on now, I'm not a misogynist?
No, actually.
Neither have I. And I really think the not all men
because
thing
nice
is a
guys.
Red flag right away. Mm-hmm. It's like, hold on. So.
It's a red herring.
People notice when you're not misogynist.
Right. It's a red herring to distract us from the real problem.
Right.
Right.
Of violence against women. Like, we can't deny that it happens.
It's not. It's like having to say, I'm not racist. I've got a black friend.
Right, right, right.
Doesn't matter how many black friends you have or have not. Racism has nothing to do with that.
Right.
Exactly. I have students that make very racist comments to their black friends in class. And I've had to shut that shit down so many times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you have a black friend or 5 or 100. You can still be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that HR sexual harassment stuff, right, Jamie Lynn? Where it's like, it doesn't matter who is, if someone heard it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's all about perspective and who's been offended.
Exactly.
It's not always if I say I have a black friend, I might not be offending the black friend. I could be offending Dan, who overheard that, or Amber, who's like, wait,
exactly.
Why do you even have to identify them?
Right.
Exactly.
That's, why are you saying it like that? Stop
well,
it.
Well, that's what I try to tell my students is, yes, you can say that to him, and he knows it's a joke between you. He thinks it's funny. That's fine. But all the other people around you that are hearing that are not going to have that same context. Therefore, it's still inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, guys, I'm out. You guys have fun.
See ya.
Love you. Have a good week.
Bye, Jamie Lynn. Thanks for coming by.
Bye, guys. Have fun.
All right, let's go. Let's actually talk about some science news. Ron, Amber, have you heard about the new Dyson Sphere stuff?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, there's certainly a lot of stuff in the media right now about it.
The only thing that I know about Dyson is they make vacuums. So I definitely need more info.
Do you remember when James Doohan guest starred on Star Trek The Next Generation? When Scotty did his guest role on the TV series?
The episode Relics.
Relics. Ooh. It's a great episode, and it revolves around a Dyson sphere, which is a physicist in 1960 named Freeman Dyson came up with this idea that an advanced civilization would need more energy than they could get from just their planet. So they would build a massive structure around their star to capture the energy directly, like you know, we have a nuclear reactor to capture the heat, boil the water, make electricity. Well, his thing was, they're going to be so advanced, they'll build a structure just to encapsulate the whole star and generate all the energy they need from that.
Right. You can capture virtually 100% of a star's energy.
And convert it to your own use. Which obviously would be an incredible feat of fucking engineering, right? Different ideas put forward, solid shell, swarm of solar panels, could be something else entirely, we don't know. Well, a group of scientists, including the people at the SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, set out to look for and set up criteria for what, if we were to be looking at a Dyson sphere, how would it look different from a regular star, right? They set out to figure that out, and they call it Project Hephaestus, which, you know, I love because the Greek deity. They took 3 large astronomical surveys, Gaia, Two Mass, and WISE, and they filtered it looking for these certain characteristics, such as excess infrared emissions might indicate a Dyson sphere. And they made their model and had AI classify all the images and go through all the data and then use that filter to then they themselves look. and they actually found 7 stars showing unusual excess infrared radiation that cannot be explained, I should say, cannot easily be explained by natural phenomena. Wow. So,
pretty cool stuff.
Incredible. Yeah,
all of these stars are M dwarf, which are relatively cool to our sun. Mm-hmm. So it might be like, I don't know. That might be a thing for if you're building a Dyson sphere.
Right.
All of this data was looking within a distance. I think it was said 900 parsecs away. So that's relatively next door in galactic terms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All we need is, you know, more data. Now, obviously, somebody could easily come along and be like, oh, no, this information is explained by this other stuff and it's not a Dyson sphere. However,
okay, maybe.
The fact of the matter is where we're at right now, that they could find 7 of them is huge. Is huge. And
that
I,
is
for one,
huge.
I'm going to be keep my eye out for more stuff, because that's as good as that ice showing that they actually have fucking too much what was it in that water, too much nitrogen in the water, and they think they've got algae on an alien planet. Like, like, this could be another way to point to and be like, nope, alien life, Dyson spheres, not only alien life, but they've been around way longer than us.
Yeah.
Well, according to a certain paternal figure we share, there was an alien ship that crashed in Vegas just a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, or just outside Vegas. And people have footage. The people's yard who they crash landed in, have video, and I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember all of the details from our conversation, but there's definitely life out there.
The same man can believe in aliens and Mormon Jesus at the same time blows my mind. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know how that works.
Cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. The only way it works.
Yeah. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. But if there was an alien ship visiting us, you can be sure they might be traveling faster than the speed of light.
And they're definitely heading to Vegas. Like, that's where it's happening. So
everybody goes to Vegas. Come on, baby. Right? It's Vegas.
It is. It's
they were just
a major vacation destination, even for outer space residents.
So, one of the things that they might be doing to travel faster than the speed of light is their next story on quantum tunneling, which is a thing. It's a quantum mechanical phenomenon where a particle passes through a barrier they should not be able to pass through. So it's like if I'm rolling a ball and I'm trying to roll it up and I let it go at the bottom of a hill, it's only going to roll so far up the hill because of the energy slowly lost as it rolls up. Well, quantum tunneling would be like, it's got the same amount of energy, but it just goes through the hill instead of over it.
Ooh, okay.
Right? That's quantum tunneling. So that happens because particles at the quantum level have wave-like properties, right? So they go through it like a wave, even though they're a fucking particle.
Huh.
So the challenge has been for, how do you measure this? How do you measure the time it takes?
Right.
Like, how do you fucking measure these things? People have tried different experiments with different results, varying results, some suggesting instantaneous or superliminal tunneling times, that's faster than light, superliminal. But their contradictions arise because it's tricky to define and measure time in quantum mechanics at all. Like Schrodinger's cat, like you can know its speed, but not its direction, or its direction, but not its speed. Unlike classical particles, quantum particles are described by wave packets, makes it difficult to even give it that specific trajectory or path. But a group of scientists, two scientists named Patrick Schock and Enno Giese, have proposed something called a Ramsey clock, named after physicist Norman Ramsey. And it's a technique that involves preparing atoms in a superposition of internal states and measuring the phase difference after they interact with the barrier. So to break that down, atoms can exist in multiple states at once. It's a fundamental part of quantum mechanics known as superposition. So it's, imagine the atoms of state A, state B. So the Ramsey sequence involves two steps. There's a first pulse of light or electromagnetic radiation, puts the atom into the superposition of its internal states. And then the second pulse, after amount of time, mixes the internal states again, allowing scientists to measure the phase difference between the two, from the first pulse and the second pulse. That gives us information about the time the atom spent in the different states, including the time spent tunneling through a barrier. I don't understand how, but that's what this paper says that they did.
wow. So, that was really fascinating.
Fascinating stuff.
So I guess by initializing the Ramsey clock before the atom encounters the barrier, reading it after gives them the measurement to measure the tunneling time without relying on classical trajectories.
Cool.
So they studied that process with rectangular barriers and Gaussian barriers, and they found that it actually does take particles longer time for more opaque barriers. So the more dense something is, the longer the wave takes to pass through it. There's no clear distinction between tunneling and classic travel. There's a smooth transition between tunneling and classical travel. So there's no like, oh, yep, now it's tunneling. Nope, now it's just traveling normally. Like there's no transition. It's just traveling. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So this is faster than the speed of light. Okay. So is what they're saying.
That's incredible.
Quantum tunneling only in the sense of, because light would have to go around the hill and the particle can go through it. So,
right.
So, I mean, to me, it's how are you defining speed? You're thinking in multi dimensions though, like the tunneling is, it gets there faster to us, but it's only traveling in ways that the light isn't able to, but it's not. Does that make sense? Anyway, fascinated the fuck out of me.
It does make sense because is it really moving faster, or
right?
Is it taking the pathway of least resistance?
It wins.
Right. It's how you make the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
Right. You're going the same speed, but you take the shorter route. And that shorter route isn't available to light.
Right.
That's how I understood the paper. Really fascinating stuff. Ramsey clocks. Check out the link in the episode description. But for now, before we talk about snake oil today, I'd just like to take a moment to remind everyone how important shared culture science is. How you can be a part of sharing that culture? It's by going to halfcocktails.com/shop and purchasing some branded merchandise. I mean, I know of no better way to support the show and science out in the open. Now, you probably can't wear this t-shirt in an office setting, but I say do it. Buy one for everybody at your office, and then it's a uniform. That's right. Make science your uniform today.
There you go.
Buy two.
At halfcocktails.com/shop.
We've got you covered.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Although I don't have any underwear yet. I guess now I need to get underwear. We got your ass covered. This could be the tagline.
Mom's got pants on. You don't need underwear.
Nah. Commando. The way to go.
It's the best way to go. When you don't know how to go, go commando.
I literally spent this whole time asking people to buy clothes. And you both are like, you know what? No, don't wear them. Don't wear underwear. That's the way to go. That's your comfort.
Dude, right there. Fight the power.
No, buy our t-shirts and then you don't need to wear underwear because you have a great t-shirt to wear. Or sweats and a hoodie. Like, we're supporting your effort.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's talk about some snake oil.
Oh, snake oil. Oh,
sail for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
Okay, so a new scam is going around. It's hitting Arizona, it's hitting Louisiana, and it's just a variation of a classic. It's just a new flavor of a classic scam. People are getting text messages.
Oh yeah.
That say toll service, you know, Arizona toll services, Louisiana toll services. We've noticed an outstanding balance of $15.42 on your record. To prevent a late fee of $50, please visit this website to settle your balance.
Oh yeah. I've gotten a few.
It's like, we don't have any toll roads here, guys.
We do not.
As a guy who, because of rush hour traffic, accidentally took the wrong lane on the Golden Gate Bridge once, and
oops,
I got a letter in Arizona. That happened like about 2 weeks before I moved, and they tracked me down with an official letter, and it had all of the documentation of me hitting that toll booth, or hitting that, taking that lane without paying the toll booth. I took the fast lane. I didn't have an adapter, fast lane radio, RF chip or whatever. Trust me, I knew it was official, right? It wasn't a fucking text message. These things, sadly, in 2023, they estimated almost $19 million. And losses from phishing scams like these. So it's always best just to be incredibly skeptical.
I've been getting a lot of the we can't deliver your package text messages.
Oh, yep. I've got a bunch of those recently, too.
Click this link to give us an updated address, but it's coming from some random number. Like the places I buy from are not going to send me text messages from a random number. They're going to be identified. It's going to be through the email. It's not a text message, folks.
Yeah. And it's just in general, just don't ever click a link or download an attachment.
Nope.
Right.
Nope.
On an unsolicited thing. Unless, correct, like, if you go on and say, oh, yeah, here's my number,
right,
walmart.com, and they're like, then you get a text and it's like, follow this link. Yeah, that's different. That's solicited. If it comes from out of nowhere, don't ever click the link. If it's from Apple, if it's from Best Buy, if it's from Costco, if it's from the IRS, go on a separate browser, load up their website, log in there, find that number.
Yep.
Ask them. The shitty thing about all these scams is they steal your time. If they convince you it's real, they've already stolen your time if they don't get your money. The time it takes to verify that it's not real. I ignore them all. If it's, like I said, if it is real, they will track you down.
Yes, they will. They'll find you.
Also, another red flag is when there's a sense of urgency. They're like, you got to do this now. That's meant to induce the panic. Snake oil scams. Bullshit.
Bastards.
All right. Let's move on and talk about some fact check. Let's have some fact checking time. That's the time.
Woohoo.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact checking time.
Okay.
Fact checking time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fact Checking Time, the new show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. Today, I think you're up today, Ron. I think Amber played last week.
I did. I noticed that Jamie Lynn like dipped out.
Oh yeah, Jamie Lynn dipped out because she didn't want to play. She's intimidated by the game. Ron, today, you, as always, you're playing for Poncho Cat, co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts. Okay. Whether you win or lose decides whether he gets wet or dry food for dinner. Now, I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news this week, but only one of them was fact-checked by a media outlet. They might be articles, they could be social media posts, they might be television or like interview quotes, but only some of them were actually fact-checked. Are you ready to begin?
I am.
Okay, all right. Either black kids have a higher rate of drowning than white kids, or hairdressers have a higher cancer risk than non-hairdressers.
Wow.
Which was fact checked.
Good one. Wow, I could see both of these being going either way here.
I am trying to up my game as well, by the way. I'm trying to learn from how well you guys do.
I remember hearing about the swimming one. I remember hearing about the swimming one when I was younger, even.
Right. I am going to go with the hairdresser.
Correct. That was the fact check story. And it is false. The hairdressing chemicals at the workplace do not give hairdressers a higher cancer rate. And the other story actually was based on a CDC study out of St. Louis that found black kids ages 10 to 14 drown at higher rates than white kids. It did not say why. There could be many different reasons for it. It 100% the reason is not any genetic component.
Right. Yeah. It's
just get that, we'll rule that out right away.
Right. It's
by the by.
It's environmental or cultural.
Right. For some reason, these kids aren't being taught to swim. That's the reason.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, probably because it's freaking expensive to put your kid in swim lessons.
Or to have access to a pool. All right. Next question. Either the TSA intercepted 7,000 guns at airports in the year 2023. Or a string of U.S. tourists have been arrested in Turks and Caicos for smuggling ammunition into the country.
Wow.
Okay.
Which was fact-checked.
Ay. I am going to go with the Turks and Caicos story.
That was my guess, too.
Oh, sorry. That's just a regular news article.
Those wily Americans and their ammunition.
Several of them claimed they forgot it was in their bags. One lady claimed she didn't know she was doing anything wrong. Just because you're allowed to have it in your checked luggage at the American airport does not mean you can bring it anywhere you want internationally. I don't know why you need ammunition in Turks and Caicos. The fact check story was, yes, and the TSA did, in fact, intercept 7,000 guns in 2023 at the screening stations.
Wow.
7,000 guns. All right. Last question, and this is for all the wet food. Poncho, say your poncho prayers. Either the Palestinian flag was banned at the Eurovision Song Contest. Or Idaho has banned pronoun changes and legally defined the medical sexes as only male and female.
Wow. Okay, you have upped your game.
Thank you.
I am going to go with the first story as being the fact-checked one.
The Palestinian flag banned at Eurovision Song Contest?
Yes, sir.
That is correct! Poncho Cat gets his dinner
for the win.
All right, tonight. Poncho.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Wow, wait. Okay. Expand on Idaho, please.
Okay, well, Idaho, the legislature approved two bills that define sex as either male or female and blocks government entities from forcing employees to use personal titles or pronouns that don't correspond with that biological sex that they define in their other bill.
Are they going to do genetic testing and evaluations on every person to determine what their genetic sex makeup is? And do they even know that genetically it's not just XXXY like we learn in biology. Idaho.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Idaho.
So backwards.
Idaho.
Senator Dan Foreman of Viola. No, I'm not going to get into it. If you're really interested, the link's in the episode description. The Palestinian flag is banned from the annual Eurovision Song Contest.
Wow.
Because flags from any state not represented in the competition are not allowed. So that includes the Palestinian flag. It's not excluded.
At least they have a.
It's excluded by the rules.
At least they have a legit policy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only exception the Eurovision Song Contest has is for the LGBTQ+ flag.
Interesting.
So let's not trash them for having flag rules that were already in place well before. Anyway, that did get obviously fact checked. Good stuff. Well done, Ron. Let's move on. Let's keep the good times
rolling with
some feel good news.
A call for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for
Okay, so I've heard through the grapevine of science that there's some bullshit going on with carbon and the temperature of the planet.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the first time you've heard of it. It's actually the inundation of climate change news makes it easier to ignore. From what they found. From younger generations, like, don't feel it's so pressing because it's just part of the noise. Anyway, it's a thing. It's happening. We need to do something to combat it. Well, a recent study looked at the effects of the European bison that was reintroduced into Romanian forests, and they found that these bison had a huge exponential effect in increasing the carbon storage potential of forests.
Wow.
Interesting.
The herd introduced in 2014 has gone from 100 to 170 bison, and it's increased the carbon storage potential of the forest by 10%, the equivalent of taking 54,000 cars off the road.
Wow.
And there's only 170 of them.
That's amazing.
So what they do is they root around in the woods. They scrub in the fields looking for fodder. They roll over on the ground. They stomp shit. They break shit. They squish the landscape with their hooves. And all of that helps other things in the forest, including other plants, thrive.
Wow.
It disperses seeds caught in their fur. It creates patches of clear earth for lizards to sunbathe in. It's just amazing. it clears out brush for other stuff. And it actually reminded me of one study that, Jamie Lynn, if she was still here, could mention. She turned me onto that was talking about how the giant tortoise in the Galapagos Islands bulldozes through the plants and creates a runway for the albatross to take off and land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just,
that's,
I mean,
so cool.
We don't know that they're talking. He's like, I need a runway. Okay, let me make you one. No, it's just this big giant turtle that fucking walks through and eats everything in its fucking path and does it in a straight line. And then the albatross is like, oh, shit. Yeah, I can use this to take off because it needs a fucking runway because of the way its weird albatross body is shaped. Anyway.
So he's an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yes. So obviously the synergy of nature is fucking phenomenal. And bringing a lot of these species back, like we see with these bison, it didn't even take a lot of them to open up the potential for that landscape. So the 10% is the median. It could be way less. It could be way more. We don't know because it's the, they don't have all of the data everywhere, right? They have to extrapolate based on their 50 square kilometer habitat.
Yeah.
But the paper is out, a guy named Professor Schmitz, and he looked at 9 different animals, including musk oxen, forest elephants, and river otters. And he told The Guardian in an interview, many of them show similar promise to these bison, often doubling an ecosystem's capacity to draw down and store carbon, sometimes much more. This really is a policy option with massive potential. So there you have it.
Wow.
Saving the earth is literally, we just got to save the earth. Bring back all the animals.
And the earth can
survive. Bring back all the animals and plants and we'll survive. That's the key. Let's do it, folks.
Magical.
All right. Sadly, though that is some feel-good news, the show has got to come to an end.
The fun is over.
I'd like to thank Gringotts Bank. It's kind of like having the defeated Confederacy run your economic system. Wizards make no sense. Looks like we don't have any time left for that new slang word all the kids are using, and its meaning will shock you. I'm sorry. I'm a blowhard. That's on me. I talk too much. But before we go, I do want to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Ron, Amber, any final thoughts, words, or goodbyes before we go?
Nah, just have a great week, folks.
Yes. If you see everything coming at you, you might be in the wrong lane.
But is it a bear or a man that's coming at you?
And therein lies the dilemma. Do I choose the bear or do I choose the man?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We don't even know. It's hashtag not all bears. Could be a teddy bear.
Right?
Could be a Pooh Bear. You don't know. You don't know.
You know, it could be a Pooh Bear. It could be Cocaine Bear. Like,
could be Cocaine Bear. Could be a bear wanting to share cocaine. All right. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us today, you know what to do. Tell someone that needs us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com, where we're on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. If you are in a giving mood, we are over at Patreon, also at halfcocktails.com/shop. Have a look. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by. Now go out and be well.
Make it a good week.
See ya.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. We're just leaving you half-cocked. 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 We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, we're just leaving half.